So the date was December 25th, 2024, at around 2 a.m. in the morning. It was quiet all throughout the house, the Headke house. Not a creature was stirring, except an annoyed Scott, because he had just been woken up by the alarm on his pellet smoker grill that the flame went out. So I proceeded to go outside, and my amazing wife, Zara, came along with me to detect the problem. And we were out there in the dark trying to figure this thing out. I got to ask you wives out there, how many of you have ever been accused by your husband of not knowing how to hold the flashlight? I accused Zara of not shining the light where I needed it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The whole light-darkness theme that continually shows up in God's Word. So the last few weeks, Pastor Sean and I have been preaching from the book of John. And in all of these passages so far, they have been interaction between Jesus one-on-one with somebody. So 2 weeks ago, it was Jesus and Nicodemus. Then last week, it was Pastor Sean talked about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And today, it's going to be a blind man. And all of these involve light and water and these common themes in the Bible. And so let's take a look at this passage here in John chapter 9. It's a longer text, but in order to get the whole context, you got to hear all of this. And so pay attention to the words light, seeing, scent, physical blindness, spiritual blindness. Let's take a look at this, John chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means scent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had perceived his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them. Does anybody see how silly this is? "Who say was born blind?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Not do we know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. And so this is the event of Jesus healing the blind man. So there's 5 points here that I want to make about this passage. Number one, Jesus sees a blind man. All caps there to make it more poignant for you. Jesus sees. Now, this is not just an event about Jesus healing a blind guy. There is a lot going on here. And notice that Jesus initiates the action in this event by seeing the man who was born blind. You know, this verse can be easy just breeze by, but it really struck me. Jesus sees the man. You know, Jesus sees you and I too. When we are going through something tough in this life, Jesus sees. In fact, Jesus must have been looking so intently at this man because the disciples noticed Jesus looking at this man and asked one of those genius questions. Who sinned that this man was born blind, his parents or him? Let's look at that question a second. Put yourself in that blind man's sandals. He's a human being with feelings and hopes and dreams. Because he has been blind from birth, his hearing is probably very good. And very likely, this man heard the disciples' question. He heard them talking about him. And so how do you think, or suppose the disciples' question made this man feel? No doubt it's a question he has heard many times before. Most people assumed in those days that if you had a physical ailment like that, you were being cursed or punished by God. Blaming the victim was all too common in those days. This man has grown up with the whole world telling him that he is cursed, that he is the problem. And this is the question the disciples had. And notice that Jesus doesn't give the typical response. He says that the works of God might be displayed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me. That's how Jesus answers their question about who sinned. He said, neither one of them sinned. You're focusing on the wrong thing here, guys. Jesus came to do the work of God in this world. And this man's blindness gives him an occasion to do just that. Jesus came to bring healing and wholeness to a world stuck in darkness. And this man's blindness gives him a chance to show the power of God. As I mentioned, John is using again this light, dark theme again. He uses it a lot. The Bible uses it a lot. Jesus is the light of the world who brings light into darkness. Notice he said that in verse 5. He said, I am the light of the world. You know, like this blind man, Jesus sees you and he sees me in our hardest and darkest moments and cares for us, loves us, and brings us out of that darkness, whatever it is, into his marvelous light. You know, we aren't promised as Christians that we won't go through sufferings or trials or bad things. But Jesus does promise he will be with us. He sees us. Point two, Jesus sent the blind man to the pool of Siloam. This is an interesting thing, by the way Jesus chose to heal this blind man, isn't it? He spit on the ground and made mud with it. Some translations say clay. So mud or clay, he made like a muddy clay type substance and then put it on the guy's eyes. Do you think maybe the disciples were wondering, Jesus, what are you doing? Spitting on the ground and making mud. Again, I want you to notice, Jesus is the actor here. The one doing the work. It's just like in our baptisms. The last 3 weeks has been cloaked in baptism. There's a lot of water talk. Being born again. The living water. And now there's water again in this passage. In baptism, what we just witnessed with Amelia, God is the actor. He's the one doing the work. He's the one putting the mud on our eyes. And then being washed clean. It's God's work, not ours. This miracle, by the way, happened on the Sabbath. And according to there's 39 rules that the Pharisees had made up that of work that the people could not do on the Sabbath. One of those was kneading, K-N-E-A-D. Jesus was kneading, that would have been considered work, when he was making that mud. According to them, he was breaking the law of Sabbath. But I don't think Jesus was too concerned about that man-made rule. And it also brings to mind to me a couple verses. Listen to these verses from two of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. The first one, Isaiah. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. And Jeremiah, behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And this is just how the Lord works. Jesus attaches his words to a visible element, in this case, his words with the mud that he placed on the eyes. And we receive all kinds of blessings through this. Just like baptism, he joins his words with the water. Just like communion, he joins his words with the bread and the wine. And then after this, he sends him to the pool of Siloam. And this is also very important. I have a picture up here of what the pool of Siloam. And by the way, they just excavated and found the pool of Siloam on the right. Is what it would have looked like. On the left is where they have unearthed it. And by the way, just to prove again what Scripture says about this pool, It was a big pool, and what it was is it drew water from the Gihon Spring, which was in the Kidron Valley right next to Jerusalem, and it brought water up into this pool, the Pool of Siloam. In this event here, the pool represents Jesus Christ, because he is the one who was sent by the Father. And did you notice what Siloam meant? Sent. Jesus is point four. Or wait, before I get to that, did I give you point three? Point three is Jesus is the sent one. John 3:17, back when he was talking to Nicodemus, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And then in this passage earlier, when he answered the disciples' question, he said, "I must work the works of him who sent me." Jesus is the sent one. The whole event is wrapped around Jesus and the theme of sending. Now let's look at point four. The blind man sees upon washing in the waters of the sent one. Jesus makes it clear here that when he tells the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam, he is saying, go and wash yourself in the one who was sent. He's talking about himself. And through this washing, not only are his eyes healed, but he is spiritually healed and illuminated, because Jesus is the light of the world. It's again why we give a light at baptisms. We light the candle from the Christ candle. Jesus said he is the light of the world, but he also tells us that we are the light of the world and to go spread that light. Shine the light of Jesus everywhere. This man, this blind man, lived his whole life up to this point in literal darkness until Jesus sees him and brings him into the light. You know, we are like this blind man in that we were all spiritually blind. We may have our physical sight, but we didn't have our spiritual sight until God sent us to the waters of holy baptism, guided by the Holy Spirit, where we now see clearly. Point five, and now the man becomes the one sent. Do you think this guy kept this stuff to himself? This whole event, people are questioning him, didn't even think it was him. This guy's always been blind. How can he now see? We see at the end that God, Jesus, again seeks him out and asks him if he believes, and he says, "Lord, I believe," and he bows down and worships. And I can promise you that this man went out and shined that light. The fact that he could not only physically see, but he can spiritually see now, because he saw the one who was sent from God. This man is going to go and tell everyone. Just like the Samaritan woman last week went and told her town. Just like Nicodemus probably went and told other people as well. Because they had been in the presence of the Son of God, the light of the world. And that's what we get to do as well. We are the ones being sent now from by the sent one. We get to shine the light of Jesus. We can truly see that the true meaning and purpose of life is found only in the light of Jesus Christ, who died a brutal death on that cross for us. And because Jesus did that for us, We can truly see. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.